You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the podcast. Now, today's podcast is exactly what I like to do. I got an email from somebody who'd been listening to the podcast, and they basically said, would you talk about this? And I thought, wow, that really is something that I miss. And, you know, one of the things you realize is when you've been studying this stuff for so long and talking about it, that sometimes you make assumptions. Sometimes you assume that everybody's on the same page, and it's always a good reminder. It's why I ask for people to send in requests for different topics. Now, some of the topics are so tied to one person's experience that I'm not able to cover them. But when I can, I love to dive in to your questions and your requests. And whenever you ask questions, it's even more helpful because it's almost direct. And so this person wrote in and said, what about expectations? Expectations in the marriage. And part of the question was, what do you do when you're not meeting your partner's expectations and they're upset about it? And so it started me thinking about expectations in general, not just when you're not meeting, but just expectations in marriage and how that works. And part of the reason I started thinking about it is because we all have those expectations. We all walk into a marriage thinking about what that marriage is going to be like and what our spouse is going to do for us and what we're going to do for our spouse. So expectations are not just what do we expect out of the marriage, the relationship, and our spouse, but also what do we expect out of ourselves. Now, this dovetails very nicely into a couple of topics that we've talked about several times on this, and that's about boundaries and standards. Remember, boundaries are what you do to protect yourself, what you do to protect yourself and the relationship from outside forces. How you kind of build the fence around both you and the marriage and the relationship to protect it. And basically, a boundary is what you will not let someone do to you. It marks the place where you end. A standard is what you expect of yourself, how you'll live up to some basically expectations of how you're going to behave in the world. Like if you say, I am going to be an honest person with everybody I deal with, that's a standard. Okay, so when we're talking about expectations, notice that there's a piece of this that's all about the boundaries and the standards, and I'm going to talk about how that happens. Now, we all have, as I said, those expectations. And some of them are spoken, some of them are unspoken. Some are requested, you know, where you say, I need you to do this for me. And other times they're unrequested, they just are in the background expectation. So sometimes they're voiced, sometimes they're not. They can also be both conscious and unconscious. The conscious ones are the ones that you could name. But then we have some that just are around this thing that we just assume. They're not just expectations that we've come up with. They're assumed expectations. We just assume that everybody would think that way and assume that everybody would be fine with the way we're doing our relationship. Those are the unconscious expectations. And the conscious and the unconscious, the spoken and the unspoken, whether it's requested or unrequested, those expectations can all get us into trouble, can all get us into difficult places in a relationship, because many times the expectations are not met. Sometimes they're not met just because you didn't even know they were there. Sometimes they're not met because you don't want to meet them. Sometimes they're not met because you don't know how to meet them. There are lots of reasons why that might happen. But in the end, a lot of times that's where relationships end up. Now, I've often talked about the fact that when I do premarital counseling, I discover a lot of things about what's walking into a marriage. And the reason I say that is because premarital counseling is a wonderful time to think about what people are walking into the relationship with, what ideas they're carrying into the relationship. It's a great time for me to see that because what I often see is what happens when that breaks down. And so I use that as a way of talking to couples about what they need to avoid, what they need to talk about. So I tell couples that they, when it's a premarital session, that they need to talk about the boundaries of their relationship, how they're going to protect the boundaries of their relationship and their own personal boundaries, what their expectations are. And that's where this comes in. So I know they're the expectations. The nice thing about it when it's premarital is sometimes I can say, that's not a reasonable expectation. If you're going into marriage expecting that to take place, whatever it is, that's not going to help. It's not going to happen. It's not possible. There are other times when we talk about the expectations that need to be talked about, that need to be discussed, that need to be spoken. Let me talk just kind of to tell you kind of a light subject way of thinking about what these expectations can look like. They happen in lots of different ways. My parents talk about the fact that when they were first married, each of them, when they had something that needed to be put in the mail, would just stick it beside the front door on the table they had it beside the front door, and they would leave it there. Over time, they realized that the mail was just sitting there. And it wasn't getting dealt with. It wasn't getting to the postal service. Well, why was that? Well, in my father's family, my grandfather was a minister who often studied at home. He was a pastor who lived close to the church and would often do some work at home. And so my grandmother was, my father's mother, was out running some errands. And so she would just grab the mail up from beside the door and take it with her. So my grandmother handled it on my father's side. Now, on my mother's side, my grandfather was a postal worker for many years. And so he would grab the mail on his way to work, which was at the post office. And so my grandmother would just put the mail there. My mom's mom would put the mail on the side. My grandfather, my mom's father, would take it with him. So notice that the expectations they carried in, just in a very light case, is my father expected that my mother would grab the mail like his mother had. My mother expected my father to grab the mail just like her father did. Those expectations led to a little bit of a conflict because the mail was just sitting there and neither one understood why. It was just an assumption that the other would take care of it. Now, that's a very light, very casual piece, but imagine if that kind of behavior carried on for years and it was unspoken. Notice that it was unspoken, and that's what caused the problem. It was a very simple solution for them to both to say, who's going to take care of the mail? Obviously, you're not, so do you want me to, or how do we set that up? And they created their system for who was going to take care of the mail. Sometimes just speaking an expectation clarifies it and gets it to a better place. But there are some dangers to expectations. The first danger is when the expectation is unspoken or unrequested. You know, that you have a sense of what you want to have happen, whatever it is, that the other person's going to take care of the finances, that the other person's going to take the mail out, that the other person's going to cook meals, clean the house, make the money, raise the kids, all these expectations. And when they're carried on without being spoken, then you're likely to be disappointed. Remember, it's not about the mind reading. The mind reading idea of a marriage, you know, if we were in sync, you would know what I needed and you would know what I wanted you to do, is going to get you in deep trouble faster than anything else. So when the expectation is unspoken or unrequested, the other person doesn't even have a chance to take care of it. Does he even have a chance to step into that and take care of those issues? How about when it's not even conscious or clear? Sometimes we have some very deep-seated pieces of belief that often come from our places of fear and need, that we fear someone might leave us or that we need somebody to love us. And when that's not even conscious, we don't even become aware of it because it's so automatic in our thinking. It's just in our assumptions of life about what should happen in a relationship that gets us into trouble. You see, expectations come from lots of different places. They come from facts and fantasies that we carry into the marriage from outside sources. We might have internalized them, but they're coming from outside sources. It could be from our own families that we watched how our parents interacted and how what they basically took care of in life, and we can assume that that's just the right way. Or maybe we read it somewhere, read it in a magazine, read it in a book, or we saw it in the movies, how some couple did it there. We just make assumptions. Sometimes they're just based in that deep need or fear. And so all of that coalesces to a place where we might walk into a marriage assuming that the other person is going to do something, assuming an expectation. When we assume it, when it's not spoken, when it's not even in our level of awareness, that tends to get us into trouble. It tends to get us to a place where a spouse doesn't even know that that's part of the expectation. So it can often be that when it's not conscious and not clear, that there is the expectation, and so it's constantly a disappointment that you can't even put your finger on, or you don't even understand why your spouse wouldn't understand that. A third way that there's a danger is when it is not agreed upon. Now, let's say that you know what your expectation is. It's gone from somewhere out there of unconscious to conscious, and you've even spoken it. But the other person does not agree to it. That doesn't mean that it's going to be fulfilled. In fact, many times when we have an expectation, we might have spoken it, but when it's not agreed upon, it's going to trip us up again. The other person's not on board with it. Also, the number four danger is that when it's not addressed or discussed over time, that things can change. For instance, let's say you divided out your job, your home duties based on your job situation outside the home. Let's say that worked for a number of years. You know, you say, okay, now we're newly married and we're going to share in all the household duties and we're both out making the income. And so we basically are kind of sharing everything. We're sharing the household duties. We're sharing the income producing. Then along comes a child. And one person decides to cut back on their work time outside, but they don't renegotiate that. Or there's a change in the family duties in the household, but they don't renegotiate that. And so over time, as either life or perceptions about the situation change, they get out of sync. And so there are expectations that are floating around that may no longer be fitting. For instance, before kids, you may have an expectation that you're going to spend every evening together and you're going to be watching movies and having sex and all these great things that are about being a we. And then a child comes along and your expectation doesn't change. Then it gets you frustrated when you're not getting what you're expecting anymore. You may not even be aware of what that frustration is. You may say, this is really odd. I just feel so disconnected. Maybe the expectation has changed on what's going to happen in a relationship based on life circumstances that are no longer working out. There was no renegotiation of what was expected. Okay, so those are some of the danger points of these expectations, but that raises the question, are expectations even fair? Well, the answer to that is yes and no. Some expectations are entirely necessary. I've had a few people who said to me, you know, I don't have any expectations. I just stay away from expectations, to which I say, that's not possible in life or anywhere else. You know, we expect that if we go to work and put in a hard day's work, that they're going to give us a paycheck. That's an expectation. Or we expect that if we go to a movie and buy a ticket, we're going to enjoy that, be entertained by it. That's an expectation. We go to a restaurant and we order food, we're expecting it to be good and for us to be taken care of and serviced. Those are expectations. We all have expectations. You know, if you've ever been in school, you have expectation that when you're taking that class, if you study hard, if you take the test, you do well on the test, and you apply yourself, that the teacher is going to give you a grade that's commensurate with your work. We all have expectations throughout our life, and there's nothing wrong with expectations. And they're a necessary part of life. And they're a necessary part of marriage. The problem is not expectations. Some are quite necessary. There are some areas that are entirely fair to create some expectations and to talk about them. Notice, and to talk about them. For instance, household duties. It is crucial for a couple to talk about how they're going to divide up the household duties. Now, you don't have to come up with, you may, but you don't have to come up with it. Specific exacts, like, you know, each day I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. You can come up with some broad themes. One of you might like doing this, one of you might like doing that, or maybe you alternate. Maybe one of you cooks one night and the other cleans the dishes and you reverse it the next night. There are lots of ways of thinking through those expectations. But it needs to be something that's talked about. Even if one person says, I am taking care of all the house and all you're doing is going and working, those are still expectations that should be discussed. So we also put into that work and support. It's important to talk about who's responsible, who's going to be responsible for what level of income and what level of work is that going to take. Now, understand that sometimes expectations have to change on the fly. Let's say that a couple has decided that one person is going to stay at home and take care of the kids and take care of the house, and the other is going to go take care of the income, the household producing income. Right, the support for the household. And then that person who has agreed to go out and earn a living loses a job and can't get another one. suddenly it's necessary to have another conversation about how to cover those expectations. Instead of demonizing the person who's no longer able to meet it, to step back and say, how do we now meet this expectation? How do we meet this challenge in life? Remember, when we took those marriage vows, we didn't leave out a lot of days. Sick days, healthy days, poor days, rich days, good days, bad days. It covers them all. And the question is how we're going to do that together. And that requires us to talk about the expectations, to discuss them as life changes. But it's a fair one to talk about. It's fair to say this is what we expect in our work style of who's going to be doing what. Okay, another place that it's fair to have expectations is around parenting. But let me be clear about this. It's around parenting and how you're going to set boundaries for the kids, how you might set discipline up for a child. For instance, I think it's a fair expectation to say, you know, are we going to, for instance, use spanking? Or are we, for instance, going to always use time out? And those are important ways you can expect your spouse to then be on the same page as you. Now, that requires you both to come to a common conclusion. It's not fair to have an expectation that you're both going to parent style the same. I don't think any two people should be expected to both parent style the same way. In fact, I think what really happens, it's healthy for a child, is to have two, maybe on the same page, but different paragraph parents, where each of them have a different slant on how you do things. This doesn't mean one has to be the mean disciplinarian and the other gets to be the good guy. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are some variances. For instance, in a very general term, I think mothers are more about nurture and protection, and fathers are a little bit more about challenge, pushing yourself to the limit. And both of those are fine. And so one of the things that I see as a problem point in expectations is when one parent expects the others to parent just like they do. As if there is a correct way to parent, we assume that you know, we each do it the right way. And when we put that on the other person, then suddenly an expectation that's fair to agree about how you're going to go parent in general terms, like how you're going to discipline and what your expectations are for a child, gets corrupted in what is the other person's parenting style. That tends to be a very gray area that's very hard to make sure you're staying on one side or the other. So let's talk about parenting as being fair when it's around discipline and expectations, how you're going to do it and what you're expecting of that child. But in general terms of how you might carry out the specific day-to-day interactions with the child, that's up to the parent. That's not a fair expectation. Okay, it's also fair to have expectations based on the relational element. How are you going to prioritize the relationship? And I'm not just talking about, being able to say, oh, our family is my number one priority, but how does that get carried out? If you say that the family is your number one priority and the way you go about that might be spending time together, but it also might be that someone says, and so I go make a good living so that I can support my family. Both of them can have the same priority, but you have to talk some about how that's going to get carried out and how each person understands it. I say that because I've seen that many times when a parent says, you know, my spouse has zero prioritization of the family because they're constantly traveling with their job and they're constantly being at meetings and they're constantly, trying after the next big sale. And then I'll talk to the other person and I'll say, you know, my number one priority is my family. I work so hard to provide for them so they can have all the opportunities I can create. The number one priority in each case is the family. The expectation of how that priority gets carried out has varied because they didn't have a discussion about it. They didn't have a discussion about what needs to happen in order to both be on the same page. So the relational piece of how you're going to carry it out is an important one. To just say, well, is our marriage the number one priority? I just want to say, as this kind of a side note, for me, the number one relationship in every family is the couple. After that, the family. Because as the couple is going, the family will follow. Sometimes we drop the relationship of marriage back in the backseat when we have kids, and what generally happens is the relationship deteriorates. And the kids end up being so much the focus that, and I'm not talking about time, but in emotional energy, that they end up being a bit of the narcissistic side of life, expecting everybody to be at their beck and call rather than the relationship. And I say that because how you carry out the expectations around your relationship are very important to discuss. What do you expect? If you expect each other to be 100% available to the kids in the afternoons, you need to discuss that. If you're expecting it to be 100% family time on the weekends, you need to discuss that and decide if that is possible given the life you're in. So what's not fair? What's not fair is to have an expectation that your spouse will always be available to you emotionally and physically. That's just not possible. It would be an ideal world in some people's minds, but not reality in anyone's minds. So being always available to me is an unfair expectation. It's also unfair for somebody to expect an emotional state that you like. You know, sometimes there are these expectations that when you get home, your spouse is going to be in a good mood, or that when you are on vacation, your spouse is going to be completely laid back, or that your spouse is always going to be upbeat and accepting and supportive of you. And all of those are about the emotional state of a spouse. That's an unfair expectation. Also unfair is when you make it the expectation that your spouse is going to make you feel happy or contented or fulfilled or any other emotional state that you want. So notice that. Those two are linked together. It's an unfair expectation to expect an emotional state in your spouse. And it's also an unfair expectation to expect your spouse to take care of your emotional state. Those are unfair expectations because it requires some robotics, and it also requires something that's not possible, somebody to take care of your emotions. If you want somebody to always be in a good mood and upbeat, they have to be robotics, or they have to be in denial, or they have to be pretending, because life sometimes gets in our way. It just happens. When we try to make somebody else responsible for our emotional state, we give them a responsibility that is impossible and is unfair for our life. We haven't figured out how to make ourselves happy or content or fulfilled. So we put it on somebody else to do that, and that's a path to failure. When I talk to couples premarital and they say, you know, our goal is to just always be happy with each other, I know that that's not a worthy goal. It is going to fail very quickly, and we have to talk about that because they're going to hit a rough point when that no longer happens. And when that no longer happens, if you've had that as an expectation, what do you drop to? How do you move away from that and not get dragged down by it? That's the power of expectations. When they're unfulfilled, they start pulling at us and nagging at us and bothering us, even if they are unspoken or even unconscious. So what I want you to think about for yourself, if you're thinking about what are my expectations of my spouse, I want you to start thinking about, is something bothering you? If something is bothering you, if something happens, let's say you're walking through the house and you realize that you have to do something in the house and it bothers you, you're having to do it, you may want to step back and say, did I have an expectation that my spouse was going to have to do that? Is that an expectation I had? Or perhaps you feel like the relationship isn't giving you what you need emotionally. Then you might step back and say, is this an expectation I have? So the first thing you want to ask when something is bothering you is to ask, is this an expectation that I have? That's step one. Is this an expectation that I have? And you begin to uncover those unspoken expectations. So if you can answer yes, then the step number two is to ask, is this a fair expectation? Now, a fair expectation, meaning are you making the other person responsible for your emotional life, or are you trying to make your spouse conform to an emotional life that you want? Is it fair? Are you wanting them to always be available to you emotionally? Is it fair? Is it a fair expectation? If you can answer yes, it's a fair expectation, then you need to ask, have we discussed this and agreed upon this? In other words, let's say, you know, you're looking at that pile of dirty dishes and you're going, am I going to have to do the dishes again? I would simply ask you to ask the question, did we have a discussion about who's going to do the dishes? Have we been clear about that? And if you haven't, then it's time to clarify. If you have, it's time to sit down and still clarify and say, you know, I thought we had an agreement about this. Is there something that we need to change about that? Is there something we need to talk through about that? Because It's fair to have an expectation as long as you both get on the same page about an expectation. What tends to happen is we make these emotionally charged issues. Instead of, for instance, the household duties being about getting done the business of the household, we make them into personal assaults on your freedom or personal assaults on you feeling like that you're being put upon. That somehow it's about something else rather than a maintenance of the family. And a lot of times when couples discuss it, what they realize was that there were assumptions that were being made on both sides. You know, that maybe one of them, they had agreed to do the dishes, but last week the other person did them the whole week. And so they thought, well, you know, now it's your turn. They didn't speak their expectation either. And so there begins to be a place where there's a collision point. So you start with some place that's bothering you, some place that's a hurt, some place that's a difficulty, and ask, is this about an expectation I have? If it's not about an expectation, then you set this off to the side and you deal with it another way. But if you say yes, which is often the case, then you ask yourself, is this a fair expectation? If it's not a fair expectation, then you work to let that go. If it is a fair expectation, then the next step is to say, have we agreed upon this? If we haven't agreed upon this, then we need to talk about it. If we have agreed upon it, then we need to talk about it and discuss why things might have changed. To do that in a way that's problem-solving, not accusatory, not hurtful, but problem-solving. Hey, I noticed that we'd agreed about how we're going to deal with the dishes, and I noticed that they're still there, so I'm wondering if there's something that's going on that I'm not aware of. Then once you clarify that, a lot of times it begins to drop away. Now, sometimes what we find has happened is that we've made a mistake. We've made a mistake of confusing an expectation with a standard. A standard, again, is what you expect of yourself. I'm going to treat other people well. I'm going to be loving towards other people. I'm going to be honest with other people. I'm never going to blank. Whatever it is, it's something that you expect of yourself. The thing about a standard is it's your own self expectations, and you can't put a standard on the other person. You can't put your own standard on another person. It is a recipe for failure, and I'm not talking about this from a philosophical perspective, but from a very practical perspective. Let's say, for instance, that you say, you know what, I'm going to be trustworthy with everybody around me. But you say that as an expectation of your spouse. You've got to be trustworthy with everybody around you. You have no control over that. You have no control over whether they're going to be trustworthy with other people. Now, with you, you can set a boundary that you won't tolerate dishonesty. But you can't create that as a standard that they have to live out. That's when we cross into the unfair expectations. Now, notice that the expectation must be agreed upon. Most conflicts are over ones that have not been discussed and not been agreed upon. So what do you do if you feel like the other person has an unfair expectation of you? Now, you already know that there's an expectation. Perhaps they've said, you're not living up to my standards. You're not living up to what I expected. You're not living up to what we agreed upon. All of those are entrees into the fact that expectations put upon you are, for whatever reason, not being met or not felt to be met by you. And that changes the structure a bit. So now, if you want to think about this in two stages, the first piece we've been talking about is how do you deal with the fact that you might have expectations that your spouse is not living up to? And it raises a question of whether you voice them, whether you've agreed upon them, whether they're fair, and what do you do to get back on the same page? Okay, that's a very simple formula, and you begin to do that as you're aware of them. But what happens if you're being accused of not meeting expectations? So this is particularly true if you believe that those expectations are not fair. Number one, ask yourself if it is really unfair. Truly test to say, you know, is it really unfair what my spouse is expecting of me? And one place you might do a reality check is to even ask a trusted mentor or advisor, somebody that you know is going to not just agree with you because you're saying it, but really is going to have a dialogue with you about that. That's important to do because sometimes when it's one person and another person, a marriage, right? Two people with two different opinions, you can begin to believe that yours is right and theirs is wrong. And if you have somebody else who can listen to your side and go, you know what? That's a fair expectation. then sometimes that can help you reorient to realize why it's a fair expectation. Sometimes they'll say, absolutely not, that's not a fair expectation. And then you can continue on the process. So then ask yourself, step number two, is ask yourself what might be behind that expectation. What are the fears? What are the insecurities? What are the past hurts, etc.? What are the things that have happened in the life of your spouse that has led them to have that expectation? Maybe they were in a household where there was an explosive relationship, and so they have expectations because of that. Maybe they were in a household that was divorced, and so they have expectations around that. Maybe they lived in a household that was, you know, fill in the blank, and therefore they have some scars around that that they want to try to head off. Maybe they felt like they have lived a life out of control, and so part of what they try to do is create control wherever they can. That's a fear. Remember, controlling behavior is always based in fear. Controlling behavior is based in the fact that you're afraid that the world is going to be out of control, and so you micromanage and control. So ask yourself, what might be behind the unfair expectations? What are those fears, insecurities, past hurts of your spouse that have created this place? Step number three is then to voice your concern from a point of empathy and care. If you can get yourself to a point of understanding those fears, insecurities, and past hurts, suddenly it's not about the other person trying to control you or the other person having unfair expectations. It's about the other person reacting from their own pain. Reacting from their own places of hurt, their own scars. And so then you can come about it from a place of empathy and care, of saying, you know, I know that this has happened in your past, but that doesn't mean that it can invade our situation, and it doesn't mean that it forces me to have to behave in certain ways. And so you have a conversation that's based in empathy and care. Step number four is to then clarify what might be possible and acceptable. What are the pieces where you can get to that place? Let's say, for instance, that on whatever scale you want to choose from 1 to 10, you're at a 1 and your spouse is on a 10 on the process that you're talking about. Can you move to a 3 or 4, and can they move to a 5 or 6? Can you kind of somewhere moderate the expectation and how you carry it out? Can you find some places that you can say, you know what, I can't be responsible for all of your happiness, and I can't be always 100% available to you 24 hours a day, and I can't always be transparent with everything that you want, but I am willing to do this. And you begin to outline the places where you are willing to make those moves to help the other person feel cared for and feel in control and feel okay. Remember, you can't be responsible for their emotional state, but you can do some things to help them to self-regulate. Self-regulate means where they find a way of calming themselves down, where you're not in charge. You don't have to take it all on. So after you've clarified what might be possible and acceptable, step number five is to stand firm on your boundaries. When you've gotten to the place where you realize that the more you give, the more will be expected, then you know that you're up against your boundaries. When you try to make those clarifications and you're working to make everything work, and suddenly there's more that's requested, recognize that that's coming from the other person's need place, their place of insecurity and hurt, not a place of responsible relationship. And so then you have to clarify your boundaries. No, I'm not willing to do that. Do you realize that you have an expectation on me that's not fair? If you're confused about boundaries, please listen to the podcast on boundaries. Please listen to that. And if you have it, read in the manual, Save the Marriage, about how you create those boundaries and how important those are. That will help you find a place to stand firm. Most people find themselves in trouble with expectations because they don't know what to do with their boundaries. They're either way too harsh with their boundaries, or they have no boundaries, and suddenly it begins to overrun them. Number six is to recognize what you have responsibility for. You cannot have responsibility for another person's emotions. If the other person is making you responsible for their emotions, remember, you're becoming responsible for something of which you have no power to control. You can't make another person feel contented or happy or safe. You can do things that will make them unhappy and discontented and unsafe, but you can't make them happy, contented, and feel safe. So you have to recognize that you can't be made responsible for that. Anytime you're feeling like you have been made responsible for their emotional state, you have just stepped onto an unfair expectation. And whenever you are expecting that from the other person, you have just created an unfair expectation. You have to be responsible for your own emotional state and let the other person be responsible for their own emotional state and then work to build connection between those two points. So one way is to recognize that you have what you have responsibility for. It is not responsibility for the other person's emotional state. Then number 7, confirm your desire for connection and mutual support. After all this process is done, be sure to confirm that you want to be connected with the other person, that you want to be mutually supportive of each other. And then you begin to ease those unconscious needs that fuel those unfair expectations. So let's go through those 7 steps one more time just to recap. Number 1, ask yourself if it is really unfair. If the expectation that's being put upon you is truly unfair, and even ask somebody else that you trust, a trusted mentor, an advisor, a close friend, somebody who's going to be honest with you and shoot straight, not the person who's going to agree with you just because you say it. Number 2 is ask yourself what might be behind it. What are the fears, insecurities, the past hurts that might be fueling that expectation from the other person? Number 3, voice your concern from a point of empathy and care, from the place of understanding that fear, that insecurity, those past hurts. Voice it from there because then it's not as threatening and you're starting to get to the place of where they're really feeling it. Number 4 is to clarify what might be possible and acceptable. What can you do? What can you do to help that person feel better without having to take on the full expectation they have? Number 5, stand firm on your own boundaries. Create the boundaries of the relationship, but stand firm on your own boundaries of what is okay and what's not okay. Number 6 is to recognize what you have responsibility for and know that you cannot have responsibility for another person's emotional state, for how they're feeling. You can't make them feel okay. And number 7, confirm your desire for connection and mutual support. Okay, hopefully that's given you a couple more tools in your tool belt as you work to deal with expectations in your marriage, both of your own expectations and of expectations that you feel are put upon you. You can begin to untangle that mess of expectations that can really get you into trouble. From here, I want you to think about how that fits into both your boundaries and your standards, and that's going to help you multiply the effect of dealing with those expectations, of dealing with your own standards and boundaries when you realize that a lot of times the challenges to your boundaries are due to other people's expectations. It was a great point that this person asked me in that email, and that's what spurred this on, which is where I invite you to ask the questions that are important to you. What would you like to know about how to save your marriage? Now, remember, this is not about making it all about your specific situation, because when I'm sending a podcast out, it's going to literally thousands of people, even tens of thousands of people around the world who are listening. And so it's got to be broad enough, like what about expectations, so that I can deal with it on a way that's helpful for lots of people. So if you have an idea, have a thought, have a question, just email me, podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. Also, if you're interested to know, my best-selling Kindle book is now also available in paperback. If you've been looking for a way, now this is not the Save the Marriage system, and it's not the Couples Therapy Exposed blueprint. This is a whole different thing. How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps is now available in paperback. If you want to grab that, you simply have to go to savethemarriage.com/Kindle. I know it says slash Kindle, but it's going to take you to the page and you're going to see both the Kindle version and the paperback version. You can grab that and carry it with you and have that. I know people have been asking about that. The fact is, it's a whole lot faster to get it onto Kindle than it is to get it into print. Now we've got both. So you can read it on your Kindle. You can read it on your computer. You can even read it in your hands like the good old-fashioned books. Hope you found that helpful for you. In the meantime, I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.